Because you counted, three.
You want me to? Sorry, I can't do it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I saw him at the grocery store one time. First thing he said to me was, if I have to campaign, I'm not. I get it,
Yeah.
Yeah, no, whatever.
What can I have to say? No pain, no gain.
This time he did though, he went on campaign, not down.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
500 doors.
Oh, good. Oh, one is careful.
Yeah, I know. So is it really spring or?
I was talking to a girl.
Showers aren't supposed to be white.
I thought I was talking to somebody.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm in Phoenix, it's 72 degrees.
Everybody's had enough of this.
I said, I don't want to hear it.
Facebook friends, one from Seattle, 70 degrees today. I got three others.
Friday, walked out with a sweat.
You don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, oh my goodness, look at this. I'll leave the book.
All kinds of goodies.
He's going to join you early. Voting against everything. And I think so is that new guy.
Hey, John. How are you?
I didn't talk to you today.
Okay.
Is that a new group too?
20-year-old kid?
Yeah.
Glenn, be careful.
Well.
Can we do an on-record for that?
Yeah, I'm going to have everybody to find every meeting. That happened last time too.
Plus.
Extension board or something.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look for one because that happened last time.
I only think of it when it's actually happening.
I forget about it until the meeting.
Everything else went silly here.
Yeah.
If anything, that's a good thing.
See how strange I.
Yeah, yeah.
How strange my leg tried to move up.
Hey, I tell you what.
I'll be fine. I'm going to mess up this knee.
It's exercise.
There you go.
Could you put hurdles all over it?
Just making it difficult for us.
Oh, my gosh.
It turns out they turn, they change up, that's a big contract every year. I hope it's the.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, right.
So.
Be careful of yours.
No.
I know.
Get the extra agenda.
Okay. So, might as well get started. Call the meeting over. Has everybody looked at?
I think I have, anyway. That's pretty nice.
Last time's minutes? Move to approve the minutes of February 12th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Approved. Public comments? Park, are you doing it under that?
No, I'll do it under board comments.
Chairman's comments, all I have is that a lot of the information we're going over today is for the Healthy People plan that we're working on. 2020 is coming soon, so we're getting ready for the next round. We will be contacting people and we would really like to have board input on a lot of the topics, possibly participation if we can. So we'll be contacting you as time comes about. All right, presentation. Stacy, you're up.
Hello, I'm, for those that haven't met me, Stacy Wyans. I'm the Public Health Community Specialist with the Division of Health. I usually come once a year to give some updates. I have a slew of things to talk about. Some I'm going to get more in depth with than others. First, we'll just see our Health Department Annual Report. The copy's over there. This is completed. You can take a look at it. I'm not going to go page by page, line by line in this. It's broken down by section and our different programs. it's updates with data compared to last year. If any of the managers have specific things they want to bring up about this, they can, but this is so it's also going to be on our website. Any questions, comments, you can direct them to me, or if you find something that needs, that doesn't look right, let me know. Next, we'll kind of move into the healthy people realm. First is, this is just our status report as of last year for our whole Kenosha County 2020 plan, or what is our community health improvement plan, or CHIP. Every year, usually around summer, I go through and do updates. The data pieces that we use are the county health rankings, which I'll talk about because the new county health ranking just came out. So what's in here is the 2017 county health ranking data, along with our community health improvement or community health assessment that was completed end of 2016. The report came out very early 2017. So you'll see that in here. As Dr. Gerlach pointed out, our healthy people were finishing up 2020, which is crazy. And so it's timely that we start looking at the next cycle, which will probably be a 5-year plan instead of a 10-year plan. It just kind of makes more sense. So as healthy people, we are looking at the best way to put together that plan. The 2020 plan, it's worked for us, but we really want to do a comprehensive approach to developing our next CHIP. So with that, we're going to be hiring a facilitator to come in to help us through what's called the MAP process. It's mobilizing. It's a process that you go through to look at data and really tune and hone in on those factors for a community that you want to include in your plan, that you really want to focus on. So we will be doing that in the next 18 months to have that plan completed before 2020. So it's going to look very different from this. This plan, again, has worked, but as you can see, we have a lot of objectives, a lot of goals, which is good, but my approach, I think, would be to hone in on really some key things that are things that we can really focus on and work on as a community and are achievable. So that's kind of my goal going through this, and Leanne is helping me with this. I think we have a facilitator lined up. We're working on our Healthy People committee members, finding out their interest in being involved in this, because this isn't just something you can kind of sit back. It's going to be a process and an involvement with a lot of input. So if anybody is interested in being a part of that, you can let me know and I can get you on my list. Because it's going to be probably monthly meetings, maybe once every 2 months, working with this facilitator to have this plan put together. So the one thing that I do like about our current plan is the data piece, which we will continue to do. Because every year I do like to be able to really look at the data to find out how we're doing. We'll be getting into the new county health rankings that came out as a data piece. And that kind of moves into this sheet of paper. And I talk about this every year. It's timely because the county health rankings usually come out in March. I usually come in April to talk, so it's a lot of press information. Just some background, the county health rankings are something that only Wisconsin did for many years. And then I think less than 10 years ago, it went national, where they now rank the counties all over the nation. It's great information. It's a snapshot, though. So we use this information, but it isn't the only thing we look at. It's nice because it is something that does come out every year. I'm able to track. It's the same, for the most part, the same measures that they look at, which is nice, so I can kind of track how we're doing. The ranking piece, I don't want to get too hung up on it. There's 72 counties in Wisconsin. That's how they rank us. 72 is poor, 1 is excellent. For us to make a ton of headway in a ranking, other counties have to do really bad. So it's not just us
really moving up. Other counties have to fluctuate too, so there's a lot of movement. So when you see our rankings, and I do compare it to last year, you can take that for what it is. There's a lot that goes into it. So again, I look at the data. The data is another thing to take into account. It is not 2017 data that is used for these measures. A lot of times it's 2015, sometimes 2016, but for the most part 2014-15 data. So you can take that as you're looking at this. It's not, it's 2017 county health rankings, but the data is in 2017. So again, that's kind of my little thing I say before I get into this, just so you can kind of keep that in the back of your mind. I will kind of go through this. I'll highlight some things. If you have questions, certainly let me know. They do the county health rankings in the two areas, health outcomes and health factors, and then they kind of dive in more with that. Health outcomes, we did actually improve from 64 to 59, and you can look at the, they look at length of life and quality of life. And a lot of this data is survey data, self-reported, so you can see, you know, reporting fair or poor health, those kind of things in there. So there was some improvement, which is good to see. We like to see health outcomes, usually the health behaviors, you make changes, and then that health outcome piece will improve. So it's good to see that. Last year, we improved quite a bit in our health factors moving into the pink area, and we stayed kind of the same, which is fine. I'd rather see it kind of stay the same than go down, because that health factors, and specifically the health behaviors, that first portion, those are people making choices to do things, eat better, quit smoking, you know, alcohol use, sexual activity, those are the behavior pieces. So seeing that we went from 56 to 65, I don't like seeing that. Some of the things I highlighted is just the percent of adults reporting a high BMI. That was good to kind of see that improve slightly. They have this measuring your index of factors that lead to a healthy food environment. I really tried to probe into what the county health rankings, what they use for that, this index. It's very hard to determine, but in any account, we've improved. The other thing is percent of the population with adequate access to locations for physical activity. We went from 93 to 97. Good to see. One thing that on the other end is proportion of driving deaths with alcohol involvement. We went from 29 to 38. One thing that has continually improved is the teen birth rate. And that's not just Kenosha. That's statewide, nationally. We've seen that improve. So that's something good. The next area is the clinical care. Not too much change in this. You can kind of look at the, if you're into the data, this is your thing. The specific line items, you know, this is heavy on the ratio of providers to the population. They look at primary care providers, dentists, and mental health providers. We traditionally don't do too well in this area, and it stayed pretty much the same. On the back side, kind of moving through the next area, social economic factors. This is kind of an area, you know, for public health, we don't have a ton of control over. They're looking at high school graduation rates, children in poverty. We went from 60 to 62, which isn't great. The one area that I highlighted for myself was just the injury mortality. We went from 79 to 85, which So I would have to look at specifically for injury mortality what they're looking at, if it's suicide or falls. I'm not sure specifically what they kind of categorize as injury mortality, but that's something I can look at further. The last area is physical environment. We historically score very low here. It's kind of where we're located. We're between two kind of metropolitan, Milwaukee, Chicago. Air quality gets in here. One area that they look at under this category is commuting, which is interesting. I guess that kind of dives into the air quality issue. But
So we don't score very well in this. We have a lot of people that commute, that drive alone, so that gets kind of incorporated into this. But we did improve from 72 to 68. So we were last year. And we have improved to 68. So it's good to see. So I foresee the county health ranking data being used as we go through the next CHIP cycle, along with our community health assessment. That'll be kind of the two data pieces. If we choose to kind of add other things, community input, like focus groups, that's a route we might choose. But yeah, the county health ranking information is a good snapshot for us to use in the process as we look at Kenosha County and our health and how we're doing. I just zoomed through a lot of stuff. And are there any questions about what we're up to or where we're at?
I have a comment.
Yeah.
I'm on the board of directors for Wellness Center, as all of you should know. We've adopted the Kenosha County Health Healthy People program at Sloan ever since we've been at the new building. So you can go in there now. There's no, all our stuff is donated, of course. So we no more donations from any pop companies. No, we've got juice and water from juice from Ocean Spray and Niagara Water. We take nothing from Hostess or Little Debbie. So we've adopted that. It's so everybody there, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the lunches that are going out with the people that are going to work, are all healthy stuff. So that's driving me there. We're going to attempt to do it at the food pantry. Now, the food pantry operates, they serve 135 clients Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But they go in there and they shop themselves. They have a personal shopper that limits what they can get by the family size. But they can pick anything they want off the shelf. We're going to try and give them boxes, big pack boxes of food, and that way we can ensure that we are providing healthy food to the community. And but we notice that the food pantry, where they can pick their own, we have the whole section of produce that's been donated. They just don't, they're not interested. They want the box stuff, canned stuff. But we've used the agent for Kenosha County to come in and hand out recipes and tell them how to use these products. So, you know, it's being used out in the community, and we're trying to do our part. And it's very interesting now that we eliminated all the junk.
Because so much of the stuff that's non-perishable is box starch.
Yes, right. Yes. And we, when we started first receiving all this produce, and it's all good stuff. It's just stuff that a retailer won't take because it might be blemished or dented or stuff like that. Our kitchen manager now is slices a lot of it up, freezes it, you know, for future soup and future meals and all that. But it's at the food pantry that where they can select their own. It was an education process for everybody to get them to take it and use it. We still throw out too much of it. What we do, we have the senior box program. That's why the state, we serve 465 last month seniors that got food. That is boxed up and gave to them. So we know for that population that they're getting all healthy food. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge at the pantry, but I think we'll get there by this year.
Any other questions? Otherwise, I'm sure updates will be presented to you on our CHIP process as we go. We're going to start in the next month or so, so it'll be exciting. Well, thank you.
Okay. So those of you that have not met me, I am the new Population Health Project Manager, and I've been in my role for a little over 7 months. So I wanted to come and present to you what the Population Health Division looks like and what we've been doing. So here's the Population Health team made up of our school nurse team led by Bridget. And under our school nurses, we have quite a few different programs that the nurses work in tandem with. So we have a Prevention Services Network, Early Head Start, and Asthma Prevention that our nurses are working in. And one more that I didn't add on here, which is our Dental Varnish program. We have our Injury Prevention team, who you heard from Betsy Smith a few months ago. She works with our Narcan and MAT, which is our Medically Assisted Treatment programs. and she has six staff underneath her. We have our Kenosha Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families, led by Pam Smith and her assistant Cheryl. We have Stacy, who you just heard from, who's our epidemiologist and community health specialist. And our maternal and child health contract, which covers safe sleep and developmental screening. I have three staff working on that. And then also WIC. So a little bit of everything. For the past couple of months, we've been conducting some surveys with our staff. The first one was a communication survey, and that was connected to, both of these are actually connected to our strategic plan. So our communication survey is actually connected to Goal 7 on our strategic plan, which is strengthened internal communication. So it was conducted with all of our staff last December. We had a 50% response rate, so we had 33 out of 66 staff participate in this survey. And from that, we developed a communication work group that was formed in February. And Karen and Mark and Stacy are all in the communication work group. We have six staff that are from a variety of different sections of our team, and so that's been very helpful. For the past couple of months, we've been meeting and working on communication with our division. Stacy and I have also been working on, or actually Bridget and I worked on a longevity survey with our staff that have been here for 15 or more years, and that was conducted in February. And we had 83% response rate for that. So we had 10 out of 12 of our staff participate in the longevity survey. And information from that is going to help with onboarding our new staff. And that's connected with Goal 1, which is support and enhance our public workforce for our strategic plan. So in the future, we're going to conduct focus groups with the staff that have been here for 15 or more years and gather some more information from them. But got a lot of great information. A lot of the staff gave us the reason that they stayed here for 15 or more years is flexibility, and that seems to kind of weave throughout their responses of the survey. We've been working with social media with Joe Patente, our communications manager, and developing and managing the Division of Health Facebook page. So it's slowly gaining interest. We have 166 likes and 172 followers to date. So if you've not had a chance to follow our Facebook page and you are on social media, this is the link up there. So it's just facebook.com/Kenosha County Health. We tried to make it simple so it's easy to remember. Some of our most popular posts have been related to our Narcan program. Last week was National Public Health Week. That was a pretty popular post. Also, pertussis and children's toothbrushing tips for National Children's Dental Health Month were also popular on our social media. So as that gains more interest, I'm working with the team leaders and management every month on the National Health Observances, and each month there's a different focus that we have. So April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. It's also Alcohol Prevention Month. It's STD Prevention Month. There's a lot of things going on in April, so you'll see that on our social media. I've been working on the strategic plan specifically with Stacy and Bridget, but our whole team is working on this, the whole organization. This rolled out last summer, right before I started. And so it's a 5-year plan, so we're just at the very beginning of implementing. So I wanted to kind of highlight some of the things that have been going on with the strategic plan. Specifically onboarding, we're connecting with our new staff, making them feel welcome, and plugging them into the organization. In 2017, we had 11 new staff, and in 2018, we've had 5 new staff so far, and 2 were actually orienting today. So this is very timely. With all these new people coming on board, we want to make sure that they're interested in staying at the Division of Health for a long period of time. For branding, we've been putting our logo on pretty much everything. One of the things that you'll see is actually the PowerPoint that the template that I'm working with right now, everyone that's doing a presentation in the community is going to be using a similar template. Doesn't have to use this background, but it has our logo and the Kenosha County Division of Health at the bottom, so everyone just knows this is what your organization looks like and who you're working for. We have a tablecloth that's out at all of our health fairs if we're out in the community, so people know what organization we work with, and all of our staff tomorrow are getting a branded cup with our logo on it as a gift from our organization. So it's a little bit of the things we're doing for branding. Communication, doing more surveys, and our communication work group has been working on a variety of things. We have a point person, which is me, to communicate out to all staff when new staff are coming, when new things are going on at the organization, such as we're getting new copiers this week, so I want to make sure that people know this is happening. And also, Bridget's working on community partnerships and gathering all the information from our different divisions on who they're partnering with in the community, what sectors, and kind of who overlaps. So eventually we'll be building a community relationship map, and we'll get to see that live, which is exciting. And last but not least, I've been working on workforce development, gathering some information on our current workforce. We have 67 staff that work for the Division of Health. I've been looking at the years of service, and I found it very interesting that we have 37 out of those 67 staff with 5 years or less that are at our division. So we really want to focus on that onboarding piece and make sure that they stay on board. And only 7 of our staff with 20 or more years, and 3 of them are sitting in the room right now. So we want to get more of those staff to stay that longer period of time. And so that was very fascinating to look at the years of service. Kind of sorting through the job titles, we had the last time we did this in 2015, the workforce development plan, we had quite a few. I think we had 14 staff that fell into other, and I wanted to make sure that that was all actually typed out in what their job title was, not just other. And then also I'm looking at the number of staff that are grant funded versus tax levy, and I got this from our fiscal department. So we have 28.31 that are grant staff, 29.50 that are non-grant, and 4.05 that are contracts, such as our KUSD contract or environmental health. So I don't know how that figures out with staff, but a lot of staff don't work a full 40 hours. Some staff work 24 hours, et cetera. So that's why the numbers are kind of, they're not a full person. So that is it. And I'm happy to answer any questions, but there are logos on everything.
Did you go through and do like exit interviews to find out why people are leaving too?
That hasn't been done yet. We've had one staff leave since I've been here, but it was abrupt, so we didn't have an exit interview conducted with that person. But something that I've definitely talked to Cindy about, developing some exit interview questions, figuring out, are you leaving because you're retiring? Are you leaving because you are pursuing other employment? And is there anything that they'd like to share with us? So that's something that we did in Lake County, and you can only get so much out of an employee, whatever they want to share with you, but
right.
Something to do.
But sometimes they'll talk on their way out.
Yes.
But they won't talk and speak up. And sometimes it's they have one person that they can deal with, and a lot of times they want to move up.
Yeah.
How much opportunity is there for moving up? I know with grants they move around a lot.
Yeah.
So part of those numbers are expansion of programs. It's
right.
Not that someone left. It's
right.
Just that we had open positions because we wrote
right.
A grant and added staff. So,
right.
But the numbers are, it hasn't been drilled down in that much detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not losing that many.
No,
staff.
No. It's but looking at, because a lot of people, like at Aurora, they start off as the MA and then they move up into nursing and then they get their MP. And how much upward movement do they have?
I think it depends on if they're going back to school to get another degree. There's an opportunity for movement, but that's something that we can look at as a management team, like how, you know, how many staff have been able to move up, you know, into like a team leader position or something like that.
And is there any training or any encouragement for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Thank you.
So before we get off of it, I would like to kind of go back and see if there is any more discussion. I know you haven't had a lot of time to look at this health rankings and healthy people update or status report, but in what you've seen, comments on anything that surprises you, anything that you're concerned about.
air quality might get better now that the power plant's done.
I hope.
And that could lower, probably take some years to get the data to it.
Yeah.
And they'll probably sell the air pollution control credits to somebody else.
So yeah.
It's not, I don't know that the region will improve, but Kenosha should.
And are any of the other things going to start doing factory type, or is it just still the warehouse type? Anything moving in? I think it's all warehouse type, right?
So far, and Foxconn hasn't said how much air pollution control credits they'll need, but we know they need some, or mm-hmm. not exactly what's going on.
I think it'll be interesting to take a look at economically if there's any shift based on the type of positions that are available or the income related to Foxconn and the number of people that continue to reside in Kenosha County that might impact our economics. But also, you know, the housing market is another area to see that we have sufficient room for people to either rent or buy. So I think that'll be interesting to watch over the next 5 years to see if there's any shift in that direction.
Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the data, like you said, is fairly old. So even the access to care in the past year has changed significantly with the number of providers that both systems have added. So that has increased significantly. And the number of specialists that are being brought down here. So I think that is going to improve a lot. Right.
One of the changes with the ACA, you know, there has been a whole lot of access, and then as that gets changed, we're also going to have various repercussions from decisions that are made both on the employer side and also on the individual side without a mandate, you know, what's going to be happening. Mm-hmm.
A concern that I could have from a Schlumser standpoint, we have a part-time housing specialist that transitions our clients into housing, but it's going to, it's already tough finding low-income housing now, mm-hmm. and what's going to happen in the future when a lot of people want to move into this community, and whether there'll be enough low-income housing available to people that will still need it. So.
They don't focus on violence much here.
Yeah.
There's like one thing, violent crime rate. And I think that is an area that has become a major issue. So, any other questions, comments? We need to gather as much information and input as we can for doing this. On this process.
And it's important that they're putting everything out on that county Facebook site now, mm-hmm. and getting more members to that Facebook site. That's how we disseminate just about all our information. It's amazing. And you can disseminate it quickly.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that is concerning, and I know it's been a discussion frequently, is the mental health providers or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. We got down this year. I mean, we did improve a little bit, but our ranking went down. But I'm assuming that with the new NPs downtown, mm-hmm. that should help a little bit. But I've already heard that they're booking out
very quickly.
Very quickly.
Aurora has added some providers also, mm-hmm. both psychiatrists and psychologists.
Just from a gathering perspective, how do you come up with the numbers for the percent of people who smoke or have a BMI over 0.30?
This is county health ranking data, but they use I encourage you to, if you have time, look on countyhealthranking.org. Their website is very interactive. You can compare counties. But specifically that data set. So which one do you have?
Well, just the health information that's listed here in Halifax, is that people that have direct contact with the health department, or is it?
No, so this is a national database. It's the behavioral risk factor survey that they do, where it's self-reported. You get a phone call, you would answer questions, and then that data goes through.
So that's the Kenosha County responses are coming up from that source?
And it's 2016, the survey was done.
It's just random, they just call?
Usually that's how it is, yeah.
I've had a call, yeah. I answered it, it was about 5 years ago. That's why this is just...
Most people don't answer.
Yeah. That's why this is just a snapshot, just to kind of give us kind of a...
Yeah, how comprehensive is the sample?
Exactly, because there aren't a lot of dead bases, you know, unless you look at hospitalizations or some other, you know, required databases. It's real hard to get information. And of course, self-reporting is a whole nother avenue.
Right.
And that's what a lot of this information is too, is self-reporting. You know, how realistic is it?
Yeah.
So we look at it as, you know, well, it's an opportunity to just give us some information, how valid, that's a whole nother area, but at least it gives us some idea of the health needs within our community. With anecdotal information from all of you too, everybody, you know, that works in all these different fields, they bring a lot of value to what do we, based on what you're anecdotally seeing in your respective disciplines, you know, what do we need to be addressing? That's why we like as many people with diverse disciplines on these committees, help making these decisions as to what really is the most important thing for us to be addressing in regards to health care or health needs, public health needs in our community. You know, when you say you're going to change poverty, well, that, you know, that's a tough one to crack. But you got to look at all the aspects related to it. Housing, access to food, access to medical care. There's other means to address those particular areas, quality of life, length of life.
Thank you, Joe. Health officer report.
Okay, just a couple of things. As was alluded earlier, we're having an all-staff meeting tomorrow, and we'll have staff that will be recognized for their years of service, and so we always hand out plaques to people just to recognize their years of service, and there will be presentations that will go along with that too. One of our sanitarians, we're very proud of, Ryan Lesnajak. He passed his national RS exam, and so that it's not an easy thing to do, and he passed that
mid-February.
Okay, and yeah. He had been working, studying for it some length of time.
Right.
So it's quite an achievement. We're very proud of it. Our lead hazard reduction grant, we're continuing to close out the 2014-2017 grant, and that'll go into or through May of 18, and we're negotiating the new grant, and I think the funds will be released soon.
Hopefully April 5th or 15th, yeah.
Okay, they'll release the funds.
That's what they said. Otherwise, it's the first of the month. You got 2 days to choose from, first through the 15th.
Yeah, so we've been in conversation, conference calls with the feds in regards to the new grant cycle that we'll be receiving. Once those funds are released, then we're able to hire our last open position, which is a HUD administrative assistant. So we hired another clerical staff for that grant. In the clinical services area, the communicable disease funding has been distributed to local health departments, and so Gwen and her team, they'll be determining the needs of communicable disease, that area, and determining how to spend those funds. Also in clinical services, our nurse family partnership program, they're piloting a mom with children program. If you recollect, that was a first-time parent program, the nurse family partnership. And so now Gwen and her team are piloting a mom with children program. So they'll be collecting data on that.
The Narcan training is going to be done all county staff-wide, and so our staff are working with Jenny Tunkies, the chief of staff, to offer that training throughout Kenosha County employees and the different building-wide. Our Kenosha Life Course Initiative, we met with the funders, Gwen and myself, and the cycle ends in April of 2019. Oh, Leanne was there also, since it's on her team, excuse me, I apologize. And we're taking a look at the type of criteria and the focus for the next funding cycle, and so that's all yet to be determined. The asthma control grant, the full funding was renewed, so Mark did a happy dance with that, and so did the staff. And then preparing to reapply for the next grant cycle. So Mark and his team, they'll be working on collecting that. And Leanne, it's kind of a shared program, isn't it, or is it?
Right.
Yeah, but Mark's doing all that.
Okay.
I just come in if I have to yell at people.
Okay. As you can see, it's all about teamwork.
They tried it while taking away some of our funding, right. So we had to show them that we're actually the only team in the state that are getting good numbers. So after they reviewed it, they said, actually, yeah, you guys are. So we're focusing on our program.
Yeah, that's, again, Kenosha County staff are overachievers in regards to all of the successes that the benchmarks that are laid out, we always achieve those benchmarks, and it doesn't always happen that way in the state. And so they often look to us to help guide other counties within Wisconsin. And Gwen will be having a new clinical services team leader start May 7th. So pretty soon we're going to be full staff. And that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Here's a question.
Yes.
Personnel department is going to be going into review and changing a lot of things. Has the health department been involved in any of that at this time?
I've been participating in some of them reviewing job descriptions, been to some meetings in regards to the restructuring of HR within Kenosha County.
And think so they'll end up pushing more down to your responsibility area or the people you hire and things like that?
We do most of the review.
You do it on your own?
Yeah.
And then you give it to personnel. They're having a meeting Thursday night, and so I'm going to go to that meeting.
I mean, for the HUD, administrative assistant, I had to go through 146 resumes, you know, and then you rate them 1, 2, and 3, so your group of ones, that's the group that you're going to sit and interview, you know. So, I mean, it took me a couple of days to go over all this.
So you're doing a lot of personnel work.
Right, because they don't have the staffing in the personnel department to do it.
Right, so that's why I think the restructuring is going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
To make sure that you still can do what you need to do, and given the responsibility, the areas.
We'd like to focus more on the one group than on that.
This is a little different from the county standpoint. It's a thing of itself, same thing with Brookside. It's a little different than the normal run-of-the-mill. Okay. Type of stuff that you're doing, so you need to have that input.
Right.
You can't lose it.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
What Mark is saying, and I know Gwen's experienced it, and so have I too, is it's good to have a say, mm-hmm. but we're also dealing with a number of hours worth of work of sifting through general applicants that in the past, that HR would at least weed out people that weren't even eligible, and we are now required to go through, open their resume, their application, read through, then rate them on a 1, 2, or 3 scale. And for instance, for Leanne's position, I think I spent almost 16 hours reviewing all of the entries into this database, this website, that the resumes and applications. So the cost is you're spending time for myself, Gwen, Mark's wages, to read through where maybe someone else from HR could at least weed out what Mark is saying, people that aren't even eligible. They have no background.
But it's either going to be here or there.
It
you
has
need to
be
have
right.
somebody
it has
here
to be somewhere
that takes that level
Yep.
So that's going to be part of the discussion, I think, and that's why it was tabled.
Yep, so just for your awareness of, you know, what it takes in the field to do the work, and it depends on where you want to spend the money, at what level, in order to sort it out. Is it our role?
And even with the, going with the computer, you know, where everything's online, so people can apply for jobs. I mean, they throw their resumes everywhere, and that's why you get so many. I mean, you used to get, say, 20 people applying for a job. Now you get 120 applying.
Right.
It's all with the websites, the Indeed and stuff like that.
They need to have a program that you have put in certain criteria, and the program, if they don't meet the criteria, it just doesn't.
Right. But that's more personnel than the health department, you know?
Yeah.
It's their learning curve.
Right.
System.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think John Jensen had 140 applicants he had to go through for.
Right.
Well, he can. He likes that.
Yeah.
That's what he's hoping to do.
He's probably looking at 140 applicants to zero it down to one.
Right.
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 You know,
so, you can hire today. Today's your first day.
It's first meeting tonight.
Right.
But if there's something like a number of hours that you spend on, like you said.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That committee has to know that.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, whether there could be filters on, you know, as Gwen just mentioned, it's a new data system, you know, and I don't know that it can have some other means to filter out people, whether it's electronically or, but you're manually reviewing each one, reading them through.
I don't actually get the numbers that they would get at entry-level positions, but for nursing, the state requires that the nurse have ABSN at the entry level. So because we have Gateway and we have other programs here that do not have bachelor degree nurses, that could probably be weeded out once they understand the online system and create the filters. So I don't have to go through those applications. So that's one that I know that I could, you know, have a conversation with them. If they don't have the bachelor's, you don't put them in the final pool.
Right.
I know every time we post a job opening, or when we did our executive director search last year or 2 years ago, you get a ton of applications that aren't qualified for the position.
Right.
They're just not. It takes time consuming to bring them up.
You still have to open them, just read them.
Yeah.
Well, I just hope it gets better instead of worse.
Mm-hmm. I think it will eventually, but it's just, you know, for your awareness as you go to the meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, corporate counsel.
Well, just some general, what is our office doing about health issues? I guess I would just remind or mention that we do, you know, guardianship, the protective placements, and the mental health commitments. So that's ongoing. Matt Kerr is in our office, does most of those. Mark's been quiet lately.
Sorry, trying.
I haven't had a lot here, but I've worked with the medical examiner on some questions the past month. And one other area that I'm involved in personally is using some of these half-deeded properties that we're taking for remediation, working with the city of Kenosha. Right now, we're going to finish up on an in-rem taking of a property of a gas station on 80th Street and 22nd Avenue that's been vacant for years and years and years, and get that cleaned up, hopefully.
Fine,
it's been forever. Remember the one on 7th Avenue and 75th Street? That was in our first batch, and there was another one on 52nd Street, which is a cricket place.
Those are
ones that have been taken and that are going to be cleaned up with, you know, over the process. So we're focusing on meeting with the city and talking to them about blighted properties that might be environmental issues locally that we can take and have cleaned up. So those are just some things that are ongoing.
Any other business?
I just got somewhat of a report from the Shalom Center. It's in the public health range, so I'll do it here. First Step lost their license, or didn't lose their license, it was turned in. They gave it up. It turned all the First Step people, which was a low barrier shelter, probably a no barrier shelter, and put them out on the streets. One of their clients was found dead in the parking lot on 60th Street. There was a pretty large public outcry to the city and the county. The mayor and the county executive came together of how they could address this. They asked Shalom Center to take in 10 extra. We received federal funding, so we had to get permission for them to do the temporary 10 extra. So we took 10 cots that we received from Salvation Army, created a space inside of our INS program, and housed those clients. And I'll just read off the summary that came to the board of directors from our executive director. It says, with the 10 extra emergency cots, we didn't just take in 10 difficult people one time and they stayed 4 months. We actually just increased our capacity and lowered our barrier for the entry of the people that may or may not have been in prolonged shelter at other places. And basically, they were in weather places. They had some extreme mental health issues and were extremely in high need. So we housed 116 in that time period. 84 were men, 32 were women, 38 would be considered extremely high need. I became an employee of the Shalom Center during that portion because the supervision on the weekends was, we had employees quit because they couldn't deal with the population. We also hired private security during that portion. Not sure that was a good idea or not. But so anyhow, the program has ended as of April 1st. We didn't just put all these people out on the street. Most of them transitioned into our beds that were there. This population, a lot of them did, disappear overnight. We don't know where they went. For the first time ever, we would have had 3 overdose deaths from heroin on our property, but most of our staff is Narcan trained. They'll all be Narcan trained by the end of the month. But we had 3 heroin deaths. They were pulseless non-breathers, when we called them in on 911, and they were on our property. So we had never had that occur before. So those people are now out on the street somewhere. There's still a huge issue with untreated mental health issues, and the drug issue is, I think we all know that we're in an opioid crisis. So that's just wanted to inform everybody about that, trying to get this information out to the community. Another thing, I just have to thank the health department on behalf of the board of directors and all the management and staff. We had an unfortunate employee death, and she came in sick on a Tuesday. She was sick on a Tuesday. We sent her home. On Wednesday night, overnight, she passed away from flu and the complications of flu. She also had double pneumonia. She was only 40 years old, had a child. But because of that, and because we house 70, 80 people in the building, we made contact with the health department and Gwen and her staff. I did not go in the building because I have an autoimmune disease and I'm on some biological medications that make it worse. So I did not go in the building and observe everything. But the health department response was outstanding. They swabbed everybody that wanted to be. They administered flu shots to anybody that wanted to. I believe 3 of those swabs came back with persons that had flu. And they also, did you guys write out the prescriptions? Or you had something right?
Yeah, we worked on it.
For the
we just spent.
Anyhow, well, Gwen will probably, I will all turn it over to Gwen to give her a report. I just have to thank your staff, And this is something that the board was never prepared for, so now we are prepared. We have an emergency action plan. We've resigned at a position of medical advisor in case we ever need one. It'll be Dr. Carroll. But with the help of your department and staff, we now have an action plan in case it happens again. And so we just thank you. Gwen, if you have anything to add.
No, I was just going to say, and by the way, I just kind of sent the long-term care facility when they deal with preparedness that was sent to me. And that was what you adopted with the template.
Yes.
I think that Shalom really responded quite well to that situation. It was really a harrowing kind of situation. What do we do? How do we do it? And we really need to look at partnerships within the community and how do we respond to that, because it's not a us, them, it's us. It's all of us. So, yeah. And thank you for that.
Oh yeah, no, it's just a great response. Being an airborne illness and 80 clients and 20-some employees, 30 employees in the building, it really could have got out of control quickly.
It's from the state. It's a long-term facility. How we deal or respond to it with the other communicable diseases. So I just kind of,
hey, by the way.
Is that just the long-term care?
there's several different.
And then you can modify it based on the facility.
There's so many things that this division does that the public has no idea of that. It's just, I'd just like to share it with everybody.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your time. Yeah, public health is, if the community is healthy, it's because public health is doing its work under the ground and making sure it all happens exactly and keeping it all done. It could have really been when her team just stepped up and it could have been a lot worse, but through early intervention,
quick intervention,
cooperation, we were able to contain the situation. And of course, as all of you know, with influenza season, it's hand washing, you know, stay home when you're sick. It's really those basics, and it's hard.
They're living in this communal environment, and you have no way to isolate them away from each other. So it's like, okay, let's just go in and try to figure out what's going on. And they were very responsive to, you know, anything the state recommended. So
I think we had a next day response after the death. It was like a next day response.
And my condolences too, because it was really hard for everyone, not only for the residents that were there, but the staff, because it was a staff member. So. Mm-hmm.
Anything else? We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
And I copy the county executive.